sitting in the office and God just keeps doing things. Hallelujah. One of the things he's doing is he's manifesting his wealth in the earth, in this house. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That seed that was promised, that $500 seed, after the first 500 came in, that came in this Sunday. Praise God. To God be the glory. You know, it was spoken that it would be done, and it was fulfilled. Praise God. I was in the office on Tuesday because businesses were closed on Monday. And as I'm in the office tending to the business, particularly the finances, there was a knock at the door. And on Mondays, I'll just share with you so you don't think it's something else. It's not that we're afraid. It's just wisdom. I don't want to have to hurt nobody. Praise God. So I'm doing the finances, and I'll lock the door in the morning so that nobody just comes in, because sometimes people have a habit of just dropping in and stuff on you, and whether it's a stranger or somebody that's a part of the fellowship will come in unexpectedly, and it's very uncomfortable when you're taking care of business. It's not that you live in fear, but it's like, you know, all kind of thoughts go through people's minds. And so anyways, this happened Tuesday, and I came to the door, unlocked the door, and one of our members came in, and they shared with me that they had come into agreement and wanted to sow a seed. And so, you know, they had their request and just covering those in prayer daily, but they sowed a $1,000 seed on a Tuesday, came and brought it into my hands, and we agreed in prayer. Hallelujah. And so God is just showing his wealth. He has given us power to get wealth, that his covenant may be established. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, it's in this room. Hallelujah. It's in this room. We may look around and say, you know, instead of looking around with question marks, look around with an exclamation point saying, me, Lord, use me. Use me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Put it in my hands. Glory. And so, you know, again, it's not necessarily the amount, because if you don't have 1,000 but you have 10, that's just as good, because it's not according to what you don't have. It's according to what you do have. And so, you know, when some come in, especially those surprise visits like that, and, you know, bless the kingdom of God, it's just an awesome thing. We just give God glory. And again, we're looking for the results and the harvest of the seed that's coming to the people who have given willingly, freely, bountifully, because you're only going to reap to the message that you sow. If you sow sparingly, that's how you're going to reap. But if you sow bountifully, that's how you're going to reap. That's the principle of God. It will not change. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. You're going to have seed time. You're going to have harvest. So if you're sowing, is the earth still here? Let's see. I came back to earth. I tried to get up, but it's still here. Is the earth still here? Well, as long as the earth is still here, seed time and harvest, which means you can plant and then you can expect a harvest in return. Yeah. Because it's all for the glory of God. It's not for the glory of man. It's for the glory of God. And who are we giving to but God and his kingdom, sowing into his work being done in the earth? That's why he gives us the power. So his covenant could be established, not just with us, but with others too. Remember, we're under a new covenant and a better covenant. The old covenant was to the children of Israel. But because of Jesus, we now get to participate of the blessings even on the old. God giving power to get wealth, that's under the old. But it did not go away because the old covenant went away. It's the promises of God. We even got something better than that. When God told Abraham, in blessing, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you and through you, all, everybody say all. All of the families of the earth will be blessed. God, through one man, wanted to bless the entire world. And so now, in coming to Jesus, we are not only blessed with the new covenant, but we're blessed with the promises of Abraham. Those same blessings that were on Abraham, that went to Isaac, that went to Jacob, and went to Joseph, but went even to the 12 patriarchs, Joseph included. Those blessings now come upon us, because if we are Christ, in other words, if we belong to Jesus, how many belong to Jesus? Okay, you don't have no choice in the matter. If you don't belong to Jesus, then yeah, you are excluded. But if you belong to Jesus, you have no choice. It comes with Jesus. What comes with Jesus? If you are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise of God. Hallelujah. Now, some of you were here on Sunday. You know, God don't play around with the promise, and he don't play around with an oath. By these two immutable, unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. So if God said it, if the word of God says, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise of God. You know, just the word heir just does something to you. You know, if a loved one dies and they have an inheritance left over and you're an heir, you know that you're entitled to something. It's not that you look forward to them to die. Some do, but it's not like you look forward to them to die. But they have laid up something for you that when they are gone, you are entitled to it. This is the awesomeness of Jesus. Not only did he initiate a new covenant based on better promises, he died, shed his blood first. He died in order to ratify that covenant with his blood. Then he rose from the dead to oversee the covenant. You know, it's not just that he's at the right hand of the Father, which is good, but he's overseeing this new covenant. It's kind of like what God said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I hasten my word to perform it. In other words, I watch over my word to perform it. Jesus is watching over the covenant. I was reminded to go to Mark chapter 16 and how it talks about at the end where the Lord had descended up to heaven, you know, in the cloud, if you will. And then it goes on and says that they went out doing the work, and it says, and the Lord was with them. Well, wait a minute. If the Lord was with them, how was he in heaven? And so the Lord is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercessions, but his presence and his spirit is right here with us. And it's just as if the Lord is here working with us. God confirming his word with the accompanying signs, if you will. This is what God wants us to get acclimated to on a daily basis. Now, let me tell you something. Let me ask you something. Let me just ask you. If you knew, and you should know, but if you live in the reality of the fact that Jesus is right here, right by your side, and you remember how he was with the three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, in the fiery furnace, and instead of three, there were four in the fire. And because Jesus was right there in their midst, the fire had no power over them. That Jesus who walked on the water, that Jesus who spoke to the wind and said, be still, spoke to the sea, be calm, and it obeyed him. It blew the people's minds away. What is this? Even the wind and the waves obey this man. Where did he get such authority? If you knew that he is right there beside you, living on the inside, trying to roar like a lion, but sometimes we only let him do like a putty cat. you knew that this was the case and you lived on the edge of this being the case, how would you be? How would you be? I mean, can I use your brother Joshua? Just walk beside me. He's representing Jesus. I'm representing you. I could have did it the other way around, but it's okay. It don't any meaning, money, and more. So if you just walk beside, if you know that Jesus was this close with you everywhere you go and in everything you face, I mean, Jesus. Jesus. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Jesus brought sight to the blind, caused the lepers to be cleansed, caused the lame to walk, the mute to talk, and the poor to hear the good news. He's with you everywhere you're going. David said it like this: yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. One thing have I desired, that will I see, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his. You know that Jesus is with you, the creator of heaven and earth. God in the beginning spoke everything into existence, but it was Jesus who made it all come to pass. In him, all things are held together and consist. He controls the entire universe. He's with you. And God is expecting us to live like that every single day of our life, every minute, every moment. Hallelujah. Just knowing. He's with me wherever I go. See, this is where we have to live. He's with me, but he's still with me. This is how we have to live. See, we live like this. No fear. Who are you going to be afraid of? Before they can get to you, they got to get to Jesus. Who are you going to be afraid of? You're going to panic in the day of adversity? The Bible says your strength or faith is small. Who are you going to? Jesus is with you. Sickness attack your body? The healer is with you. By his stripes, I was healed. Hallelujah. Not trying to get it, just receiving what he's already done. It's in the covenant, the new covenant, based on better promises. Well, what about my situation? Jesus is with you. Hallelujah. He's not ignoring you. It could be that we're ignoring him. And if we act as if he's not there, we tie his hands. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a. Oh, don't you like that word? Praise God. Yeah. Now, it's one thing, Brother Kwame, to get a reward for bringing a criminal to justice. I'm just using you as an example. You know, you bring them to, you know how they have those wanted things, and somebody's done something bad, and you bring them in. You get the bounty for it. That's a reward, and that's good. You get the money for it. But this reward, you know, it's one thing to go out and, come on, you got, let's see, that's Crystal Grace? Yes, okay. I'd be calling it. Yeah. Come. You wonder what I'm going to do. Praise God. Okay, Jesus is still with me. It's another thing to, okay, Brother Sean, go get me that Kleenex box right there on the table and bring it to me. And so he goes and does it. And so then, because he did a good deed, now, don't be insulted by this, but this one you don't have to get back.
Thank you.
But he goes and does a good deed, so he gets rewarded for that good deed. That's another thing, amen? Okay, but this reward is, you can put that back, and You're going to put that one back? Here. Here's another one. I'm so glad I have these on top. If you saw what was on bottom, you'd probably say, you cheap pastor. And so, but he only got the Kleenex box. Come on. I mean, yes, I'm with Jesus. You ask him for your, okay, you can be seated. Amen. And but this reward doesn't come from going off and doing something. It doesn't come from, you know, taking somebody bad and bringing them to captivity. This comes from just seeking him. He's a rewarder of those. I'm just pushing you around, but I'm seeking you. Cooperate with me. He's like, I'm supposed to. No, this comes from just seeking him out. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him out. I'm trying to show some diligence in the seeking. The seeking is to keep on coming and to keep on trusting and to keep on depending and relying upon him. The secret, the seeking is in knowing that he's with me. He's so close, I could touch him. Praise God. Hallelujah. The word says, the word is even nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. This word of faith that we preach, you know, those who diligently seek him or search him out, I get rewarded for that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And the reward is based on my diligence in seeking him, which means he wants me to seek after him. And it's not just me, it's all 7 billion plus on this people planet. If all of us would begin to seek God, we have all of these problems and all of these issues. And believe me, it's dividing the church. And you probably think that I'm opinionated, but I'm biblicated. Amen. Amen. I try to the best of my spiritual ability, I try to see through the eyes of God on a matter. And I can miss it sometimes. I will not say that I'm perfect and I'm always right, but the very few times am I wrong. Anyways, no, having the biblical perspective on everything, if everyone was seeking God, Kim Jong-un could get saved if he would seek God. He quit trying to mess around. How you listen? This is a Goliath that Kim Jong-un cannot contend with. He is not David. His little slingshot of what he's got is not enough to deal with the United States of America. There's too many praying people in the United States of America, for one thing. And just like God defends Israel, he's defending the United States of America. Amen. Why? Because we're here. So if he keeps messing with us, he's going to force the issue. Now, whether it's political or not, nevertheless, it's an issue and it's a threat. But if he would seek God, he could have peace and North Korea could prosper just like South Korea. South Korea is booming. Where do you think Samsung comes from? How many of you got Samsung products? Yeah. Hello. Look at the back. Samsung. This is South Korea. South Korea got one of the greatest churches, the largest church in the world, of people praying. That church was built on prayer. And so, you know, if he gets saved, he could be a good leader, a good ruler, do something good for his country. Take his people out of prison camps and get them employed and have them work and become productive in society. But there's a devil loose and he's got a hold of Kim Jong-un. And the stuff that's going on that you hear in the news every day, see through the eyes of God. Hallelujah. I tried to tell you Sunday, nothing wrong with a wall. And don't get all bent out of shape about the wall. Don't get all bent out of shape about DACA and what Trump has just done. They're going to paint him evil. Listen, if Donald Trump, just like Sean Hannity said, if Donald Trump found a cure for cancer, they would find a reason to find fault in him. He can do no good in some people's eyesight, no matter what he does. And so here we are. We got all of these problems, and God is saying, listen, listen to this. Second Chronicles, we always quote it. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse what? 14. If people will and then I, from where I will forgive their sins and what we do like what Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah. They were drinking and partying and marrying and giving in marriage, as it was in the days of Lot. It's how it is in this time, because the people with the power and the authority aren't doing their responsibility. See, we not only have to come to church, but we need to bring other people to church. We need to be the church, and we need to win others. And your witness has got to be so strong that it's able to convince people to come and see a man who has told me everything that I have done. Could this be the Christ? That whole village that she came from came to see who this man was that she was talking about. And when she brought him to Jesus, after they heard from Jesus, they looked at her and said, now we believe not because of what you said, but because of what we've heard and seen ourselves. That's how effective our witness must be. He that winneth souls is wise. We got to become more wise in winning souls to Jesus. Filling these seats is our responsibility. Hallelujah. To shirk it, to jerk it, to don't dare say, well, I'm not called to do that. You know, I'm just going to use them. I didn't get permission. But before, Brother and Sister Oliver, they went to a restaurant. Now, they're seniors in this assembly. Elderly, and their witness was so effective that the person came to church. That was a while back, but I'm just saying, if they said, well, you know, we don't get around like we used to and stuff like that, you know, it would be understanding for them. But if you can do like I'm doing right now, and if you can talk, see, my communication is very limited when it's just somewhere else, but here I even have to try and shut it down. Pastor Lucia has to come up to me, give me the mic. Give me the mic. I don't give it to her, but you know, just, you know, yes, I do, because I love her. But anyways, no, we're responsible for filling these seats, just like the Lord is going to bring all the money that we need to pay for the land and to put the building up. All of that money is right here. And see, as we continue to witness boldly, everywhere we go, everywhere, that word everywhere in Mark chapter 16, what it means is universally. It means all over the place. Everywhere we go, the Lord will be with us and will confirm his word with the accompanying sign. Yeah. Fivefold ministry offices, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, is to equip the saints so that everywhere they go, the Lord be with them and signs and wonders follow and confirm the word. Remember a while back, as some of you have read and some of you have been even encouraging others, I said, read the book of Acts. The reason I say read it is because that's the church. A lot of the stuff today that we see is nothing but mere religion and entertainment for people. And this is why the church is weak, because we've been entertaining them. There's only one that we should entertain, and that entertainment, if it don't involve worship, true worship, biblical worship, in spirit and in truth, then it means nothing to God. Because the true worship comes from the heart. And when it comes from the heart, it comes from a heart that has been changed, a new heart that God gave. And out of that, the lifestyle of the worshiper is reflecting the very character and nature of the one that they worship. Did that make sense? It might take a little while for that to settle in. You might have to get the CD. Jesus said this. He quoted Isaiah, but Isaiah was quoting Jesus, who is the Word. He says, these people worship me in vain. Get that. God said, they worship me in vain. Meaning their worship meant nothing. Because of the condition of their heart. They draw nigh to me with their lips. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. It's just an example, illustration. He says, but their heart is far from me. Their lips are here in California, but their heart is over there in South Africa. I just use that as a, you know, distance. No, the heart has to be right there with the lips, and the lips have to speak out of the abundance of what's in the heart. Because God says their words do not match their heart. Their heart is somewhere way over there, far from me. In their heart, they hate me, but with their mouths, they say they love me. So, we're not a people who draw nigh with our lips, but our heart is somewhere else. No, we draw nigh with the heart, and our lips utter unto God what's there, because whatever is in the heart is what the mouth speaks. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? See, I'm sharing word with you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why do you think when Peter was denying Jesus, that last time he used profanity? He used profanity to try and trick them. We know you were with Jesus. So he started using words that would make them think, well, Jesus didn't talk like that. Jesus didn't use that kind of language. He was trying to throw them. But they know, no, you've been with Jesus. If Jesus don't say it, don't you say it. If Jesus won't do it, don't you do it. He's the standard. What he does is what we do. He showed us for 3.5 years. It's been passed down from history. We do well to hold to it because we start seeing the results of it. We see everything from the good to the bad. We see it, but we got the word to bear witness. And so all he wants us to do is seek his face. Seek his face. Can you see that? Seek his face. Well, is that all? How come I got to do that? Because he said do it. Don't do it. Because see, in you, because of those broken down walls, remember those gaps in the wall? Those gaps in the wall have you. I ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for doing all that. It don't even make no sense to me. You know, I got to go to work. I got to take care of these kids. I got to pay bills. I got to do all of these things. Don't you know that Jesus knows you have to do all of those things? He knows every one of your responsibilities. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. Beholding the evil and the good. Amen. He sees all. He sees your tears. He counts your tears. He holds them in a vial. When you're crying and weeping before the Lord is like, he probably don't do it personally. He just has an angel that'll catch it for you. But, you know, he's counting every tear that you shed. And they are not in vain, but at the appointed time, those tears are going to manifest into the purpose and promise of God. Hallelujah. So we seek him. Why? Because he said do it. We don't wait, you know, skip days. You want to be in his presence on a daily basis. You know, we can say, read your Bible. We ought to, because we don't want to be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. To ignore your Bible and simply wait till you come here to hear us share something from the scriptures. And sometimes it's not that we don't use the Bible, but this is the goal of the believer, to get that word in them. So that if you're in a place and you don't have your Bible with you, you're not limited. It's in you. Hallelujah. It's not only working within you, both the will and do of God's good pleasure, but you're ready to release it to others so that they can come into the same promises of God that you've come into. And so may the Lord sharpen our witness to fill these seats. Let's not just wait on Brother Q. And let's not leave all the work to him. But you stay diligent. You stay faithful. If you're the only one out there. If it's just you, Tina, and Andre. Sister Latika's waiting to deliver the baby. You still go. Now, I know there are others. Councilman, Deacon Posada. And I really appreciate Brother Pete. He's just a faithful advocate, soldier out there. And now, Brother Danny has been going out. Only a few times? Well, it's going to increase. Don't you dare let the devil get in the way of what God has been doing in you. I mean that. Don't you let the devil. What he did, he just tried to knock you off the saddle, knock you out. You know, let me just slap him down, take his joy away from him. Now you get right back in there. Devil, if that's the best you got for what God has before me, that ain't nothing. And you're going to have to pay back seven times. I call it for you're going to pay me back seven times of what you did. That's the promise. But all of us are ministers to some degree. Every believer is a minister. That's what you see in the book of Acts. Yes, they had the apostles, but then they had to get the deacons. And what were the deacons' responsibility? Come on, you deacons that are about to be ordained to ministers. They were to do what? Wait on tables. Make sure the Hellenists, the Greek Christians, got the same distribution or equal distribution or enough of the distribution like the Hebrew women, that there was a fair deal in all of this and that one wasn't getting all and then some being left out. That's what they were called to do. Y'all oversee this matter. What's that? Passing out food. Was that their first role? That was their first role. But they were packing. Look at your neighbor and say, but they were packing. They were packing. Yeah. What do you mean they were packing? They had word. You heard about Thomas and Stephen. There were others too. They had word. They had the anointing. They had the Spirit of God on the inside of them. They had a good reputation out there. And they went everywhere preaching the word. When the persecution came, they all of a sudden took off their aprons and got to preaching that word. And signs and wonders confirmed. Saints were scattered all over the place, and everywhere the saints were scattered, they went there preaching the word. That's how it got, you know, how it covered the earth of that day. Everybody just went out. So everybody was loaded. Now, this word is here to work for you, but it's also to work through you to touch the lives of others. Amen? All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was good. I had fun. That part really stuck. That, seek his face. Humble themselves. Seek his face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. And I'll heal their land. He'll still do it today. Hallelujah. He'll still do it today. Amen. Well, that was a good Bible study. Can I get a scripture on the board, Brother Caleb? Titus chapter 1. Verse 2. I know you gave it to me. That's such good eyes. Okay. Oh, it's not an ink pen. I was trying to take off the top. Let's go to verse 1, Caleb, because that'll help us out with verse 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. You can't escape that, saints of God. Not only is it for you, but it's for everybody who names the name of Jesus. This attribute ought to be coming out of us. Godliness. More like God. If we are the same miserable, wretched person that we were before we came to Jesus, it's because we have not undergone the transformation process, the renewing of our mind, the allowing the attributes that Peter talked about, add to your faith virtue, into virtue knowledge, into knowledge, dot, 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 temperance and all of that. You know, growing in godliness. Being like God, because we're supposed to bear his image and likeness. It doesn't matter about the conditions. It don't matter whether we're rich or poor or in between. What matters is that we're bearing the attributes of our Lord and Savior Jesus, so which is after the truth. Sanctify them with the truth. Thy what is truth? The word is truth. So the truth which is after godliness. Next verse now. In hope of eternal life. Now that hope is expecting something good to happen. It is an expected end, one that you look forward to. Eternal life. It's not like eternal life is just like, well, I hope so. No, eternal life is there and eternal life is now. It's a living reality. We've stepped into it. Which God. These next three words, that what? Cannot what? God cannot lie. I've shared it with you before on Sunday. Numbers 23:19, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. It is impossible for God to lie according to Hebrews 6, 18. Numbers 23:19, God is not man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he needs to repent for anything. Here we see Paul telling Titus, God cannot lie. Promised before the world began. God had this thing all wrapped up in the beginning. He's the God who sees the end from the beginning, and he says, let it go. He's the best director, producer. We got people out here on this earth and people planet that do movies and stuff like that. But God does a living reality. I mean, with his, it ain't no fairy tale, no makeup. It is based on a true story. Hallelujah. God saw it in the beginning. He saw all the way to the end. And he says, let's run this thing, Jesus. Hallelujah. And he saw us here at 2017. He saw us here in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. We didn't come here to be DOA. We come in revived, refreshed, restored, renewed, replenished, rebuilt for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Give him praise and give him glory. I'm about ready to use this to point. Can you give me that offering basket right to see where the light is? Brother Finn is right to see where the light is. I'm having fun with it right now. You're going to have to take the mic from me. Thank you for Sunday. I don't mean to jump around, but I want to cover this. Sunday, we received another, well, actually it was 1,074. So I just rounded it up and sent Pastor Rod them $1,100 again for Bridge of Hope for Texas and Harvey. And now we have Irma. And behind Irma, you have Jose. And then over in the Gulf area, you've got, I think it's Katie, something like that, in the Gulf that's kind of like stewing, if you will. And so, you know, I purpose just to pray against it. You know, and as a church of the living God, that we would just intercede. Just, I told Pastor Rod, I said, he says they're focusing in now on Florida. I said, yes, we're praying for a intercessory prayer shield to just shield them from that hurricane that's coming their way. Right now, it's still at a Category 5. I pray that that thing dwindles down to a Category nothing and just sweep itself right back out into the Atlantic and dissipate and disappear for the glory of God. We have people that are trying to get out, so pray for them as they are traveling to get out of those areas, as they've been warned to do, which is a wise thing. If they tell you you need to leave, you need to go ahead and leave. The house is not worth trying to, you know, you can get a new house or another house, if you will, but you can't get another you. You are it, fearfully and wonderfully made, uniquely made. So if you want to, you can bring an offering. If you don't have anything, don't worry. But if you want to give unto the Lord, then by all means do so. By way of announcements, we have September 9th, evangelism meeting at 10:30. Brother Kwame will let you know the details of where you're going to be. And looks like that's it. Anything else coming up this weekend, Pastor Lucia? Other than a great Sunday celebration of the goodness of our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So we look forward to that. Praise Jesus. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your seed sowing. None is in vain. The Lord sees everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you've given, you can go ahead and stand to your feet. We're going to dismiss right after this. Those of you who'd like to, if you're live streaming and you'd like to give online, the option is there. Look down to the bottom of that screen and you'll see a button that says donation button. On there, you can, I think we have even options that you can give towards. If you want to do tithes and offerings, if you want to do just offerings, if you want to do building fund, those options are there for you. And we thank you for whatever you send. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Extend your faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to give again. We present our offerings to you with joy, hallelujah. Cheerfully, because you said it in your word. You love a cheerful, hilarious, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in their giving. It is a joy to give unto you, Almighty God. We pray now that you will bless your sons and daughters who have willingly and freely given unto you. According to the measure in which they have given, let it be measured back unto them. as they are believing you for great and mighty things, Lord, make it come to pass in due season that they will not grow weary in their waiting, but they will reap in due season as they faint not. Master, be glorified. Show yourself strong. Grant to your sons and daughters raises and promotions. Grant unto them jobs. Grant unto them increase. Prosper your people, your sons and daughters, in the things of God. Prosper them personally, Lord God. As the word says, that above all else they may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. For Father, it does no good to be wealthy and to be sick, ill, and afflicted. But even their health, keep them in divine health. Heal them everywhere that they hurt. Restore them, renew them, rebuild them. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We pray for businesses to continue to prosper, and we pray for businesses to be created and rise up and flourish and prosper. That there is no lack, Father, in this opportunity. We believe it's the opportunity of the church, that your people are enabled to engage with the wisdom and the creative abilities, the creative ideas, the witty inventions that you can give to your sons and daughters, even in this day and time, that will meet a need and will draw wealth for the kingdom. Bless them to do so. We thank you right now. We thank you for the offerings tonight. Multiply them many times over. Thank you that every need is met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now bless your sons and daughters, those that were here and those that are still remaining. The Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, because you're the church of the living God, the blessed of the Lord. You are sons and daughters of the kingdom of our God and our Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell. In Jesus' name, everybody who agrees said amen. Amen. All right. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. We love you. We thank God for you. And we'll see you soon. Hallelujah. Amen.